"What does the dynamometer read?" he shouted to Maury without taking his eyes away from the periscope. Maury studied that instrument, rigged to the test stand itself, by means of a pair of opera glasses and his own periscope.
"I can't read it," he shouted. "Yes, I can. Wait a minute. 52. No, make it 152. It's second time around. 152, 153, 4. Ross, you've done it. You've done it. There's more than twice as much thrust as the best we've ever had."
Art looked up from where he was nursing his motion picture camera. It was a commercial 8mm job modified by him to permit the use of more film so that every second of a test could be recorded. The modification worked, but was cantankerous and had to be nursed along.
"How much more time?" he demanded. 17 seconds, Ross yelled at him. "Stand by! I'm going to give her the works!"
He twisted his throttle monitor valve to the right, wide open. The rocket responded by raising its voice from a deep-throated roar to a higher pitch with an angry overtone almost out of the audible range. It spoke with snarling menace. Ross looked up to see Maury back away from his periscope and climb up on a box, opera glasses in hand.
"Maury, get your head down!"
The boy did not hear him against the scream of the jet, intent as he was on getting a better view of the rocket. Ross jumped away from the controls and dived at him, tackling him around the waist and dragging him down behind the safety of the barricade. They hit the ground together rather heavily and struggled there. It was not a real fight. Ross was angry but not fighting mad, while Maury was merely surprised.
"What's the idea?" he protested when he caught his breath. "You crazy idiot," Ross grunted in his ear. "What were you trying to do, get your head blown off?"
"But I wasn't..."
But Ross was already clambering to his feet and returning to his place at the controls. Maury's explanation, if any, was lost in the roar of the rocket.
"What goes on?"
Art yelled. He had not left his place by his beloved camera, not only from a sense of duty, but at least partly from indecision as to which side of the battle he should join. Ross heard his shout and turned to speak.
"This goon," he yelled bitterly, jerking a thumb at Maury, "tried to..."
Ross's version of the incident was lost, however. The snarling voice of the rocket suddenly changed pitch, then lost itself in a bone-shaking explosion. At the same time, there was a dazzling flash which would have blinded the boys had they not been protected by the barricade, but which nevertheless picked out every detail of the clearing in the trees with brilliance that numbed the eyes. They were still blinking at the memory of the ghastly light when billowing clouds of smoke welled up from beyond the barricade, surrounded them, and made them cough. "Well," Ross said bitterly and looked directly at Maury, "that's the last of the Starstruck Five."
"Look, Ross," Maury protested, his voice sounding shrill in the strange new stillness, "I didn't do it. I was only trying to..."
"I didn't say you did," Ross cut him short. "I know you didn't do it. I had already made my last adjustment. She was on her own and she couldn't take it. Forget it.
But keep your head down after this. You darn near lost it. That's what the barricade is for."